The message that I was raised with my whole life was, you won't know if you don't try. And why not apply to the hardest college that you think you can get in? Why not apply to that job? Why not?
Right. Like, right. It doesn't strike.
Right. And it's, you're not a failure if it doesn't work out. Because to me, failures are things that you can just, you learn. You actually learn more from a failure than a success.
Hi, everyone. And welcome to Path Found. This is the podcast where we unpack the winding, messy, and meaningful journeys that lead to the work we love and a life that feels right. I'm Monica Argandonian, and each week I'm going to sit down with someone whose path didn't follow a straight line, but it still led them to purpose and fulfillment and often surprising success. These are real conversations about mentorship, pivots, networking, self-doubt, mistakes that we all make, and what it means to find direction when the map runs out. These stories are here to inspire and guide you. We'll dig into the things school didn't teach, like how to navigate career twists, life lessons, and big transitions. If you like what you hear, please share the podcast with a friend, subscribe, and leave us a review. You can also find us on Instagram at PathFoundPodcast or online at KeystoneNetwork.org. There you can send in your comments, suggest guests or topics, or even apply to be a guest yourself. This podcast is for you, my students, my peers, and anyone figuring it out as they go. As a longtime teacher and anthropologist, I've always believed in the power of stories. They remind us we're not alone and that it's okay to change your mind, take a different route, or still be unsure of what comes next. This is my pivot too, and so I'm glad to have you on this journey with me. Now let's get started. Hi, everyone. I'm Monica Argandonia, and welcome back to Path Found. Today's guest, Christina Marler, shows us that sometimes the path forward starts with cleaning out more than a closet. It starts with clearing space for a new chapter. Christina's story begins with a dream of teaching, a homemade fortune cookie she once mailed to Martha Stewart, and a whirlwind career in New York's high-end event world. But after becoming a mother and stepping away from the workforce, she faced the question so many women do. How do I start again on my own terms? What began as helping a friend unpack during the pandemic turned into a thriving business, Neat Freak SoCal, where Christina helps people simplify their homes and often their lives. We talk about creativity, courage, and how taking chances and even stepping back can open up doors you didn't know existed. Christina reminds us that you're never starting over. You're just bringing all your experiences forward into something new. So let's get started. So Christina, we're going to get a chance to really kind of delve into all kinds of things, but I always start with, what's your origin story? So what were you like in high school?
So I was kind of your average student. I had lots of different friend groups and was very involved in volunteering. So I volunteered for the Special Olympics all of high school, and I volunteered with the youth group that was in our community. And I knew that I wanted to become a teacher. My mom is a teacher, and I had some learning challenges over the years and wanted to kind of give back and relate to other students who maybe were experiencing the same thing.
All right. So on track to be a teacher. That's awesome.
That's right.
So you knew you were going to go to college. So then what happens?
So I go to college, and I was in a teaching program that was amazing, where you go into the classroom starting freshman year. I was set out to be a special education teacher and early elementary, and I loved it. And then my junior year, I studied abroad, and I went to Australia, and the program that I was in Australia didn't allow me to take education courses. And I was really there to experience living in another country and different university. So I just took a 6-month hiatus from education and realized that maybe there was more to, you know, what I wanted or could do. And I really had thought it was all I could do was be a teacher. So I called the university and said I might want to stay in Australia an extra semester. And they said, great. And I also may want to change my major. And they said, okay, you kind of can't do both and graduate on time. So I made the commitment to continue with the education, get the degree, get all the certifications in the state I went to college in, as well as my home state. I thought maybe I would go back to education, but wanted to try on a different career first. So I graduated on time, got the degree, went home because I had no money, and started substitute teaching. And that's when I realized that's the hardest job in the whole wide world.
Yes, it is.
and thought to myself, you know, I don't want to not like this job. And I also believe teachers are the most important people out there and I need to be giving 100%. So what else can I do?
What were you going to, if you could have switched your major, what would you?
So there's a major at my college that was called HOD, Human Organizational Development. And it's basically a psychology / business degree. And both of those things I'm very into and kind of am still curious about today. So anyway, so my second semester senior year, to back up just a minute, I was involved in my sorority and my friend group, and I was sort of hosting various parties and just really liked the details of organization and parties. And this is in 1996. So in 1997, so a long, long time ago. And this is before there were majors for special events, which now universities do offer that kind of hotel management and event planning. Yeah. So I, through a family member, through a friend of a friend of a friend, got Martha Stewart's email. Actually, not her email as much as her sort of assistant's email and address. So this is the time period of 1996. Fall, and Martha Stewart was about to launch her Kmart product line. So she was, you know, a big figure in retail and just in the media. And so this aha moment of basically thinking, could I work for Martha Stewart? Could I be an intern? Why not? So I came up with the idea of making a homemade fortune cookie, which I love to cook, but had never done that before. And it took a lot of batches. And I came up with a fortune to put inside, which figuring out how to fold it without getting the grease on the paper was hard. But I did all that. And my fortune basically said, stepping into your world as a charismatic, innovative person. And I made the fortune cookie, packaged it in thick sheer cellophane with the hay. And this is 1996. So this is all new packaging that we hadn't really seen that, you know, back then. And I FedExed it for $35 to her assistant with my resume, which was basically all about education and teaching, with a cover letter. And I waited. I eventually heard back from her assistant that she had seen the fortune cookie and was impressed, thought it was pretty unique and complimentary of it. But I did not hear back from Martha. And while that may, for some people, have been like a blow and the end of the story, for me, it was like, I just did that. And I'm so proud of myself.
I mean, it's unbelievably creative.
Yeah. I mean, I just was like, oh my gosh, maybe there is something to this creativity and I can put it into a bigger audience. And Martha's like the top of the top. So maybe there's someone else that can see this vision and see this potential in me.
So even though there was no job, it didn't end anywhere positive, you made it into something positive.
I did. So now I'm graduated. I'm substitute teaching. I'm working in retail to make money because my parents charged me rent to come back home. And I basically answered an ad in the New York Times that was looking for an events person. And I just went in there and said, I don't have experience. I got an interview and I said, I don't have experience, but let me tell you what I do have and how it relates to this job position. And I basically listed all the things I learned as being to be become a teacher. I thought there was a lot of overlap. I had to deal with teachers, faculty, parents, students.
Time management.
All the things. Yeah. Details. So I got the job.
All right. So you get this job. I also like that it was a New York Times ad when there were job ads in a newspaper.
Right. So yes. And it was for an agency that puts on special events for American Express Platinum Card members is kind of what the company did. And so I did that for about 3 years. And I learned more in that 3 years than I probably have learned in my whole career. It was a really hard job, but it was really fun.
That is awesome. So a couple of things. Even though you didn't have this undergrad, right? Those skills are still so transferable. So kind of that major, you know, focus, but still you were able to get this job. And then when you know, I assume the learning curve was really high. What did you like about it? Did you have people to help you?
So I really liked the people. It was all mostly young sort of college grads. It paid next to nothing, but we were kind of all in it together. And we would do these trips all around the country. I love to travel. Trips all around the country with a giant budgets and basically entertaining people. And it was a detail of service that I can't even describe. People would come back from their rooms at night and there would be like a Tumi piece of luggage with a note just to them. It was, you know, every meal, there was a different floral arrangement. management. There was so much to learn, so many components about all of it. And everybody was super hardworking, put in long hours, but it was a really great group.
So why didn't you stay?
I didn't stay because I had essentially I was starting to outgrow it. And to be frank, I was kind of getting exhausted. So I actually quit and went and traveled around Europe for 3 months.
Oh, just on a whim? You just decided? So
my sister and I said, you know what? We're both re-examining our careers. She worked in sort of the accounting financial world as an assistant. And in our travels, decided she was going to become a social worker. So she applied to graduate school when we got back. And I came back and said, I'm going to move to San Francisco, try something new, and live on someone's couch and figure out once I get there how I'm going to get a job. And then September 11th happened. And I don't think I've mentioned it, but this is New York City. And I'm from the suburbs of New York City. And so that obviously was very traumatic. And I decided to stay and get back into the city. At that point, I was living back at my parents. So I thought, I've got to get a job because I got to pay my rent. And so my next job was working for Bon Appetit magazine.
Nice.
And that was incredible. That's a Condé Nast publication. And again, the most amazing people. And this is really where I had my first bosses that shaped who I am in terms of the passion for just going after something. These bosses were all so open to ideas and also encouraging and relatable. It was spectacular. So again, traveled all around the country, putting on events, whether it was for the advertisers of the magazines, the readers, various things, working with celebrity chefs. It was very glamorous, also not well paying.
Okay, but you're able to pay rent.
Yeah.
You're having a good time.
Yeah.
Then what?
So then I felt like I had also outgrown that. But, you know, I never left a job on bad terms. And I've always remained in contact with someone at every job, mostly at Bon Appetit. But anyway, so then I get a job for Wine Spectator magazine and Cigar Aficionado magazine. And New York City is really the central place for a lot of publications. And so I did the same sort of thing, but it was more localized, not as much travel, which I like. Because at that point, I got married and had a baby and then went back to work. But I also liked that job, but not as much. And again, probably not as much because of the people. It just was a different, they weren't as into sort of changing things up. It's kind of one way to do things. And my previous jobs, it was much more the sky's the limit.
Okay.
So then I moved to California. So I quit my job and pregnant with my second child and sort of took a hiatus for a short time, figuring out sort of California and so forth and being a stay-at-home mom for a few years.
Why did you move to California?
So I moved to California because my husband did a career change. Okay. So that brought us to California. And
did you choose to be the stay-at-home mom because of that move? Do you think you would have?
So I think in the back of my mind, I always wanted to do that, but I didn't know financially that would be possible. And when I went back to work after having my first child, I was less interested in events. It's a lot of nights, it's weekends, it's travel. Right. And with a newborn, it was difficult. And if we had stayed in the tri-state area, I was going to need to work. So it was kind of a dream that I didn't necessarily think was going to happen. But it naturally kind of occurred when we moved to California.
Okay. Because I want to talk about that, taking those gap years to raise kids.
Right.
Because there is definitely a penalty that moms pay for that if they want to go back into a career. So, all right. So you are now stay-at-home.
So now I'm stay-at-home and I have two toddlers. And I'm still connected to one of my bosses from Bon Appetit, who also has moved to LA. And she calls me up and says, hey, can you do some freelance? So I said, sure. Well, quickly, I realized that that was super difficult because I basically had to make all these phone calls to various restaurants and chefs. And with, you know, one baby napping and the other one not, it sort of wasn't worth it. But I was wanting to prove to myself that I could do it. And so because a lot of it was from home, the work, and then I only had to go in, you know, very sparsely. So I did that for a couple of years here and there and thought to myself, maybe I'm not as interested in this and, you know, what else could I do? So then I got approached to help out with Claremont's Educational Foundation's Brews and Bros.
Yeah, Brews and Bros.
Brews and Bros.
Big fundraiser.
Yes, big fundraiser. And so I got recruited to help with that. And I thought, okay, at this point I had a child in school, another one in preschool and a baby. And I thought, okay, I can do this. So I did that. And again, loved the organization and the person I was working with. So that was really fun. I only did that for the 1 year. And then I was back to sort of, what can I do that's not events? I think that it was the kind of question that kept coming up in my head. But I knew I knew how to do events, but I wasn't really excited about it anymore. And also maybe wasn't so thrilled about the commitment and nights and weekends that often events can have with my schedule and kids. And so then COVID happens. And this is really where my business began. So I had been helping the friend whose couch I wanted to buy, but she said, just take my couch. And I said, okay, fine, let me unpack your kitchen. And so realizing that she didn't have the eye or the attention to detail or the enjoyment out of figuring out what she needed and where to put it in her kitchen, and that I was getting like having so much fun doing this, I thought, you know, this could turn into something. And so that's where that sort of started. And that got me thinking from there how I, as a mother, had, like many mothers, was trying to homeschool and do all these things during COVID. And we were buying off of Amazon like it was crack.
Right. I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Just, you know, the trampoline, this school supply, like everything. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have a big house. I don't have an attic. I don't have a basement. Like, where is all this stuff going to go? There's just so much. And that's when I realized that maybe there are other people like me who had accumulated all this stuff and didn't know how to get rid of it or when to get rid of it or how to organize it. I thought to myself, maybe there's a company I can work for to learn more. So I started researching. I applied to a job. I interviewed. I got it. And I actually turned it down. And then that is when I started my own company. And it was a really hard decision because obviously there's structure to a job that exists. There were a lot of perks. It was essentially an app that I could sort of say, hey, I'm free to work today. And they would send me to a place to do organizational work on a team. And they more or less told me that in X number of months, I would probably become a manager of a team, which was very exciting. But the pay was really low and the drives to all the destinations were going to be quite far into LA. And I really had a hard thought with myself and with my spouse about, could I do this myself? And how would I do that? And how do I get clients? I don't really have true experience, but I think I kind of know what it takes, but can I pull this off?
So you have three kids, but you had worked for American Express and Wine Spectator. You had all these incredible job experiences. And now you get offered a job. You'd been out of the workforce a little bit. You get offered a job that's low pay. Can you say how much it was paying?
$17 an hour.
It is.
That was a blow to my ego, by the way.
That's a huge challenge.
Yeah.
And so why not? I think it's great that you said, well, you know, no one's going to pay me what I'm worth. I'm going to do it myself.
Yes. And so between that and sort of this going in this house that I was helping someone move into, that is where I did this for about 2 years. And then started my business, Neat Freak SoCal. I am a people person, but when it comes to the behind the scene, like accounting and starting the business, that is not my wheelhouse. And I had to learn it. And I was totally capable, but didn't think I could do it. And so I doubted every move that I was going to, you know, do it wrong and then get caught for fraud of something. I mean, I just, I built it up in my head as just not possible, but I pushed through and basically I broke things into tiny steps so that I felt like I could check those points to know that I was doing things correctly. And I actually signed up for a grant and I took a course. I got $5,000 to start my business. I took a course on small businesses led by women.
So, okay, few questions. Had the pandemic not happened, what do you think? I mean, were you looking for something? Were you looking for
a new job? Was looking because my third child was in kindergarten. And in my head, I was like, as soon as she's in first grade, I got to be full throttle here. And so it was definitely in the back of my head.
Again, none of us do this by ourselves.
Correct.
It is support from various pieces, places,
absolutely,
right, all over. So the women's group, what women's group was it?
It's called Claremont Connects, and it's a group of women, a lot of artists here in Claremont, who just have come together. We were meeting twice a month, and now we meet about once a month, and we meet on Zoom and about twice a year in person. And it's really just supporting. So whether it's hearing someone's idea out and giving more ideas, or spreading the word if someone has an art show, because like I mentioned, there are a lot of artists, it's become more than just a business group, but it's all women here, women businesses in Claremont.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's about the network.
It's about the network, and you can't just take from that. You have to put in.
Right.
And it's just like in all of these jobs I've had, I've learned in the jobs that I haven't loved. There's a lot to be learned when you don't love something, but the jobs that I've loved the most is when I've loved the culture. And so while I only work for myself, I still want that feeling of connection with my client, because it doesn't work what I do if I'm not on the same page as the person, and I want to add value.
Okay. So plug for your business. It is called
Neat Freak SoCal.
And you're busy.
And I am busy. Yeah, I am booked, and it's just me. And I, for better or for worse, I do that for two reasons. One, for flexibility, because I am still a mom of three kids with a spouse that works far out of Claremont. And the other reason is because I actually really care about helping these individuals, and I'm less about the rigidity of like it looking perfect. So in helping someone go through the process, I find that like on a TV show where someone comes in and like in 6 hours, it's like all transformed. Well, as amazing as that is, those TV shows, they literally get a storage unit and just throw everything in it.
Can you talk about the challenges of having kids and working?
So many emotions. I still deal with all of this. I'm a human, but I think I've gotten better. I love having my own business for the flexibility. I don't think I can see it any other way. However, initially getting out the door to do this was really hard because I had lost all my self-confidence. I felt like I really dove into being a stay-at-home mom and background in education. I think I'm kind of fun, and just I was all in. And suddenly the idea, like there's new platforms and software and all these things that in jobs that I'm not going to know how to use terminology. And I just was putting myself down left and right. And my spouse was like, he's like, why are you doing that? It's like riding a bike. You're just going to jump right on and pedal on. And I was like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's going to be like that. And he's like, how do you know? You haven't even interviewed. You're putting yourself down before you've even like tried. And I know he was right, but it was really, really hard. And I mean, when I say I drew this out, because I had come up with the date that when my daughter was in first grade, that was when I wanted to be like almost full-time somewhere. So I internalized this for a year, you know, leading up to it. He said nothing. It wasn't like, how's that job search?
Well, and I think it's often really hard for women who do take off years to raise kids, even if it's a few years, to even get back into
workforce. I think the hardest part was my self-talk to myself, thinking that I wasn't good enough, or I wasn't creative enough, or I really, like, it's not like I internship with someone to learn how to be a professional organizer. Like, I was learning as I went, but I think I didn't give myself credit for actually already knowing a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just a pretty tidy, organized person. And the message that I was raised with my whole life was, you won't know if you don't try. And why not apply to the hardest college that you think you can get in? Why not apply to that job? Why not? You can get it and then say, you know what?
Right. Like, right. It doesn't strike.
Right. And you're not a failure if it doesn't work out. Because to me, failures are things that you actually learn more from a failure than a success.
What do you see down the line?
So it's been 3 years officially with Neat Freak SoCal. I've been doing it kind of for five. I feel like if I'm learning every day, then I want to keep the course. And if I'm learning and I'm having fun, because I feel that as I've gotten older, my takeaway from my earlier jobs is that they were fun. And like, you don't have to work hard and not have fun to be successful. successful. So I think if I'm still having fun, then I want to keep at it. If it gets kind of dull, then I will, you know, pivot and do something else. But I feel like what has been a constant in all of these jobs is that I really like helping people. And with the organization, every client and situation is completely different. And the ultimate goal is to make everyone feel successful. So I kind of need to meet them where they're at. And there's more than one way to do things. And I like trying to figure that out, what would work for someone else. So
that's great advice for all kinds of jobs and interactions we have with people. Meet them where they're at.
Yeah, because that's how you're going to grow, right?
Okay. Now, your kids are older, as you've said. They're changing. What advice are you giving them as they are headed maybe off to college or choosing kind of their paths?
So I don't have kids that are naturally organized, funny enough. So I am trying to teach them small habits that really help you be successful. And one of the habits, which I'm sure many of you have heard before, is make your bed every day. If you make your bed every day, it kind of is a fresh start and you've done something successful. And I think in general, people are really hard on themselves. And so if you can find small successes, small wins, however small, even making your bed, you're more likely to be to set out for a better day.
I love that. Well, last question. I always end with this. If you could go back now and knowing what you know now, go back and tell your 21-year-old self something, what would it be?
So I would say to tell my 21-year-old self that experience is the best teacher. So get out there and do the work. And if you pivot, you can pivot however many times you want. I think it's actually you learn you're a more complex, interesting person with each pivot. So do the work and get the experience because that's what's going to give you a lot of answers, a lot of self-satisfaction, a lot of direction.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Christina, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Path Found. If anything we talked about today connected with you or gave you a new perspective, we'd love it if you subscribed, left a review, or shared the episode with someone you care about. You can also find us on Instagram at Path Found Podcast. To explore more stories, resources, and ways to get involved, visit KeystoneNetwork.org. This podcast is just one part of the journey. At Keystone Network, we're helping young people and anyone figuring it out as they go build meaningful futures one step at a time. A huge thank you to my podcast editor, David Strutt. You can find him on LinkedIn for helping bring these stories to life. And to Elizabeth Miner at Silvermine Creative for the beautiful artwork and web design. And if you're on your own path, navigating the unknown, making a pivot, or simply figuring it out as you go, just know you're not alone. The route may not be linear, but there's always a way forward. I'm Monica Argandonia, and I'll see you next time on Path Found.